Hello, we're back. Had to do my costume change. Huh? I did my costume change. I had to switch out of my ear monitors. Oh, yeah? Thanks, I needed that, you know? Oh, man. I just got myself in the doghouse. Cool. What's that? Oh, thank you. It's all you. If you guys didn't come here, it wouldn't be a church. So, we have been in, I think, 16 weeks, literally, in this series where we're studying the bride of Christ and what it means to be the bride and how we respond to the bridegroom, Jesus, right? We've been talking about Esther. We've been looking at the journey that she and then her uncle Mordecai have made together in this process as she became a bride, and then now we're in that phase of discussing what is she doing now that she is the queen, the bride, in this story, right? We said it's a kind of a strange world, you know, there's Babylonian culture. Wow, that's a loud one. It's the pager. You are being paged. Oh, it's okay. It's been about 20 years since we've had a pager. It's okay. Do you remember carrying pagers in a pocket full of quarters? Pager, yeah. All right, back to it. We talked about last week how we are the bride of a jealous king. And we said, you know, normally jealousy is not a positive thing in this world. We think about what a jealous spouse might be like. And they're, you know, they tend to be in our experience, controlling and somewhat abusive and stifling. And they're invasive. And that's not the kind of jealous husband that God wants to be to his bride, right? He wants to be jealous in the sense that he will knock down anything that stands in the way from you experiencing the full intimacy that he wants to have with you, right? And so we look at those ideas of, oh, well, I better get rid of those idols in my life because God is jealous and I don't want to make him jealous. And that's true, right? But I also wanted to flip it on its head. And we read from Nahum. Can we throw up Nahum 1, verse 2 through 7? And I kind of truncated it down a little bit. We read the entire passage last week. But the Lord is a jealous God filled with vengeance and rage. Holy cow, I don't like it. I don't like it already. He takes revenge on all who oppose him and continues to rage against his enemies. Remember, his enemies are your enemies? The enemy, the devil. Who can stand before his fierce anger? Who can survive his burning fury? His rage blazes forth like fire, and the mountains crumble to dust in his presence. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He's close to those who trust in him. Do you see that? So all that rage and fury is actually not turned against you. He's for you, not against you, right? It's turned against anything that would presume to touch you, right? And we saw how when Esther brought forward to the king this plot that the enemy wanted to take her and basically her entire race out, that the king said, who would presume to touch you, O queen, right? And that's that reaction that the Father God is giving to us. The fire, the rage, the fury, you know, just understand, he gave everything to know us, to have us. He gave Jesus. He spared nothing, right? Right? How can he not withhold from us anything else, right? I mean, he gave Jesus. So then what is the proper response that you give to someone who just loves you so zealously, so jealously? Right. That's what he wants. He wants everything, right? Yeah. All right. So that catches up on the review. If you want more, go back to YouTube. That's what it's there for. Oh, you're just in time.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So we also talked about warfare scriptures. We've been talking about spiritual warfare, how when you married the king, you married his battles, so you married into his interests, right? And so as the bride, you're also sort of the warrior princess. Right? Some of us don't like that. Some of us would rather be, you know, the one that sits on the couch and the servants bring the bonbons. But he's not looking for the wife that stays home and sits on the couch, right? The one who doesn't share in the things that are close to his heart. He's looking for the bride that is interested and connected to the things that moves his heart, right? And the things that are not moving his heart, and the bride who just sits there on the couch and says, more bonds, right? More stuff, bring it to me, dear. Come on, bring it. That's really not a wife, that's a concubine, right? All the benefits of intimacy without any of the struggle that goes with that in the investment, right? Okay, so as we were talking about warfare scriptures, we ended last week by saying, what are some of your favorites? Post them, make them public, right? And all of you, I have to say, did a really good job of throwing stuff out there, which on Messenger, where I don't know if some of you are or aren't a part of that. Many of you silenced it because it was just overwhelming and you couldn't take it all. But you know what? You invested, and I told you I would find a way to include all that so that you guys could kind of consume and assimilate. And you know what? I just decided, heck, I'm going to just have you guys pretty much build my sermon for me this week. And so I collected all your stuff. This was not my plan, but thank you. Jesus is calling. Yeah, it's in your purse, Paul. It's a merce. Kim, I said, you're here just in time, because one of the things that you shared, Exodus 14, if we could throw it up, it's actually a graphic that was shared. Next slide. It's like a big old graphic-y thing. Looks like it's straight off of Instagram. There it was. Was it off Instagram? Okay. Well, it's really cool. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Now, why did I share that? Well, this is the introduction to the warrior princess that I'm talking about. She's fully engaged as she's engaged, as she's waiting for Christ to return. This is not permission to just sit there and eat bonbons, but it's permission to understand who's really fighting this battle. Yes. If you'd like, actually, even if you don't, I'm going to do it anyways. Exodus 14, I'm going to just read it straight out of the Bible, the non-Instagram version. It says, Moses told the people, imagine, chariots are coming. There's a Red Sea on the backside. They have nowhere to go. They're pinned down. God, why did you bring me to this place? Right? And Moses said, don't be afraid. That's your first command. Don't be afraid. Takes some energy to do that, right? This is not a stand down, do nothing. This, number one, focus yourself. Get a hold of yourself, right? Number two, stand there. That's a command. Just stand there, right? Hold the line. Stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. The Egyptians that you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You won't have to lift a finger in your defense. So that's our first step into this warfare, is understanding that we are expected to stand, and we are expected to gather ourselves and stand in the strength and of the Lord and not in the fear, right? The false evidence appearing real. Right? So the warrior bride of God wants to stand next to him as he's facing down this enemy. The non-warrior bride is going to take off running and say, I'll be hiding. Come back and bless me when you're done. Right? Okay? All right. So we're invited into this. I have to stand. I have to, you know, have faith. I can't have fear. What usually do you do, oh church, when you need to build your faith, or when you want to, you know, stop giving in to fear and you need that encouragement and you need a strength that's not your own strength? What do you do? Praise and worship. Where else? Remember the good things. What else? Forget not all those benefits, right? Get on your knees. Yep. Fast. Get in community. Yeah. Those are all valid. Those are all real, right? And then the other one that you guys did, share your scriptural victories. Share them. Like many of you have had to walk through valleys and you know the scriptures that the Lord spoke to you, they were prophetic in nature because they applied not only to someone else who wrote them, but they applied to you and your situation, and share those and share the story, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, combine that, right? The scriptural words that had meaning and leverage in your situation, and that becomes hope and reality to someone else who doesn't know how to take that verse and apply that thing, that scripture, that word in their life, right? And that is the community piece. That is the worship piece. That is the remembrance piece, right? So you're all right. You can reach your hand up, pat yourself on the back. All right. Now, same topic, but I'm going to turn the wheel a little bit and, you know, do a juke. And that is when I'm trying to check in with my heart and say, Lord, you know, do I feel like I'm being the bride you're looking for, right? And it's really hard because I'm a dude. I don't know how to be a bride, right? I don't just want to go off of my knowledge, and I don't want to just go off of what I think marriage should be, right? And I don't want to just treat him like, you know, I would treat my wife, because frankly, I don't know that I'm an awesome husband all the time, right? And so I have to look for something solid that I can stand on, and so I go to Proverbs 31, and I just sort of look at it and do some inventory with the Holy Spirit, and I would suggest you do this. Just sit with him and read through the things that he says that is a good wife, can I say it that way, and just say, are we doing this, Jesus? You know, are we good? Okay, nice. All right, and this is in the context of the warfare discussion, so I'm not just pulling this out of thin air, but in Proverbs 31, verse 25, speaking of the bride, in this chapter, it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. That's generated, that's created in the environment, the context of community and scriptures and worship and remembering and recalling the good things of God, right? That's how you stir that up and wear the laughter in the face of the future, right? When she speaks, her words are wise. She gives instructions with kindness. And this is really important as we begin to delve into these moments where we're led of the Spirit into spiritual warfare of any kind. First, you speak out of wisdom. You're not rolling Yahtzee with your scriptures and your ideas and your words. You're not buying the tape that was sold 3 years ago and trying to rip and apply it today wholesale without checking in with the Holy Spirit. It has to be surrendered. It has to be led of him. It has to be life. There was so many times in the New Testament where Jesus was kind of coming out of that Old Testament mentality where he was saying, your old wineskins are not going to carry the new wine in this story, amen, right? Your traditions, we don't battle by tradition. We battle by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, right? So look for new revelation. Let it lead you. Speak from words that are wise. And when you do, your instructions must be kind, okay? Can I just... This is something that's really important for families. When you're speaking to someone else in your family and you are feeling like you're doing war with something that's other than your family member, but you love your family member, don't do the warfare on them in front of them, looking them in the eye and making them feel like they're the bad guy in the story. Do you really want to drive a wedge between you and them? Treat them like they are the enemy of the story. Okay? This is important because a lot of people will do that. You'll start engaging this, what you think is the enemy motivating this person. And if you look them in the eye and you're speaking to the enemy, they don't know. And they just think you're saying that you're more spiritually mature than they are. And you're taking control using the Bible as your leverage. And you win because you trumped them with the scripture first. And you just broke that relationship even deeper. It's kind of quiet. Are you thinking about a time where maybe you did that? Okay. All right. Well, it's all right. Repent. Don't do it again. He restores relationships. That's why you guys are sitting close. sorry. It's okay to do warfare. Like go alone and like love the person, but man, don't let that person eat the attack that you are trying to use against your enemy, the devil, and make them wear it like it's their thing. You know what I mean? Because frankly, you've been just as guilty of those things as they have, and you don't want people doing that back at you, right? Your instructions must be kind. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. And this is another piece of this family dynamic that I believe that the Lord is saying. And that is, you know, the church for the longest time has been afraid to engage in issues in the house because they're afraid of upsetting the delicate balance that creates unity within the house. And so not paying attention, not addressing, not engaging, hiding some things, hoping the world doesn't see the mess that's going on because we don't want the world to know that our family is less than perfect. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to just wear it out there, right? Frankly, the church of at least my lifetime has not been trustworthy with a lot of the most vulnerable and delicate pieces of information coming from the house. So we're not motivated to share because we've had a lot of bad experiences, right? And so I'm basically challenging you guys to be the safe environment where you could do that, where other people can unpack their stuff out there and actually wear vulnerability in the open without feeling like you're going to be judged for it, but you knowing that you'll have people backing you up. What are you guys having? Are we okay? Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, just asking. Watching everything in the house and suffer nothing from laziness. A lot, you know, when I was a child, the biggest laziness was coming from the fathers not engaging in their families. And it was like the moms were doing all the work, training up the children in the ways of the Lord. And the dads were busy working and they were checked out. And I've seen a nice sweep going in that direction where men are equally involved in the spiritual dynamic of their children. But I just want to like encourage you and just call it out there. Like, we always have to be checking in with the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, am I doing anything that would cause my household to suffer from my laziness? Okay. And it's not guilt. It's no condemnation. Is there something I'm not doing, Holy Spirit, that you're calling me to do? And I'm just being preoccupied. I'm being overcome by the 12 notifications on my phone. I've got this, you know, right? Right? And we're not doing it for a show. We're not doing it because the world is watching. We're not doing it because we think other Christians will hold us accountable. We're doing it because that is the kind of bride Jesus loves. And he wants, like, he gave us our families and he wants us to check in and watch over them because he loves them. Right? Okay, are you with me on this? Is this too elementary? No, or yes or no? Let me move on. Okay. All right, so when you engage your household, when you engage warfare, when you engage the kind words that are driven from faith and love and joy and like-heartedness with Christ, just know that your words are with power, okay? Your words are with power. And if we could go to Hebrews 4, it's so famous you could probably say it with your eyes closed, but the word of God, and can I just point to you out the fact that the W is lowercase? Right? A lot of people like to just kind of center in on this, that, you know, take it for granted. Oh, that's the Bible. I got it. Check. Well, you know what? It is the Bible, but it's also the word that's spoken from God. And in the New Testament, you've got two words that are always, you know, you don't know it because in English it's word, but you know, logos and rhema, right, in Greek. And you don't know if you're not reading it in the original languages, or right, you don't know what you're saying, but those words are interchangeable. In one moment it's logos, which is that's the written down word of God, and rhema is the revelatory word of God spoken from his mouth to people, which happens every day in relationship, right? And so what I love about this is like the word of God, it's alive and it's powerful, and the two always agree. So what you hear the Holy Spirit say to your heart better agree with this, and what you read here better agree with what you feel, but don't check out one from the other and say, I only subscribe to one or the other. Why would you? Right? You with me? Okay. We have to live out in relationship this word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. I need it today. And it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Why do I care? Because it cuts between soul and spirit. Sometimes my soul gets involved and there's junk. And then there's my spirit man I'm following after the spirit, and they sometimes at war with each other. Sometimes I bring too much emotion to the table and then it clouds what God is trying to say. And sometimes I just need his word to cut between that. Right? And it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. You know, some translate. be this condemned, evil, wicked, good for nothing. Did I leave out any? And sometimes we need a reminder of who we really are so we stop acting like the other thing that we don't want to be, right? All you men's groupers, you know what we're talking about when we say the tree in the middle of the field? When we were camping years ago, my son Nate was just learning how to ride a bike, and we brought the bike to the campground thinking if we bring him in the grass, like a big field, he can't get hurt, right? He'd just fall off in the grass. So there's only one thing to watch out for, humongous field, one tree in the center, just don't hit the tree, right? And so we get him running and we let him go, and he's kind of like doing what like kids do. And you could see it in his mind as he's heading for the tree, in like almost like a C shape, right? Driving. And you can hear, you know, like by looking at him, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree. Boom, hits the tree, right? It just falls off. Like only one thing in the whole field that you got to worry about, don't do that. And that's what he hit, because the focus was don't hit the tree. And he could have just said, go over there, turn around, right? But it was the don't hit the, right? And we do this with condemnation. We just, this is who I am. I make the same mistake. Why am I so, right? Fill in the blank. And what do you do with that? You drive yourself to want to redo it because that's the same thing that brings you comfort in your broken soul. So you repeat it, trying to comfort yourself, only making yourself more miserable, only to have to go back and comfort yourself once again. Right? And so sometimes we need the word of God to just show us who we really are. Cut between soul and spirit. Expose those innermost thoughts and desires. Fillet us, right? And let him pick the stuff out. Are you good with this? Okay, good. We have to live by his words, right? In Matthew 4, it's a great spiritual warfare chapter because it's where the devil comes to Jesus while he's fasting and tries to tempt him, right? And we get to see how Jesus modeled for us that spiritual warfare walk. You know, Jesus could have been Jesus and he could have just, you know, closed his eyes and did like this and pinched the devil's head and been done, right? But Jesus just chose to limit himself to the Old Testament scriptures so that he could model to us like what it's like to walk in imperfection, though he was perfect, right? So that we could duplicate that, right? And, you know, the first time the devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, he wasn't just speaking to, hey, this would be fun. I bet you'd love to do this. Jesus, let's go get drunk, right? It wasn't one of those temptations, right? It was a, if you're the Son of God, which means, can we really get to the core of who you are and see if you really are what you say you are? You say you're, right? And that's usually where all of us humans, like raise your hand if you're a human, breaks down because we have to prove something. Not everybody. Some of you are healed and you're amazing people, but most of us have to prove something. We're looking for this little affirmation of our life of some kind, okay? And it was maybe my dad always told me this, or maybe this somebody always told my boss that I wouldn't amount. There's a pressure to prove why we're good enough. And Jesus was being tempted by the devil, just coming in looking to see. Maybe Joseph, you know, hurt Jesus' little heart. And if you really are who you say you are, you know what I mean? And Jesus couldn't go back to, well, no, it's kind of like this, devil. Let me explain it to you. No, he just go back to the scripture and find the truth, right? And the truth is, I'm not living by the way I feel. I'm not living by the old words of the past. I'm not living by those definitions. What am I living by? Every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. My identity is found in him and not in that junk. Soul, spirit, separated, bam, my truth is good. The rest can be quiet. We good with this? That invitation to speak and hear and hunger after the word of God is an invitation to commune. And to know that you've been invited to the table is to know that you're good enough. Not because of you, because of him. You're good enough. You're invited to the table with Jesus. So who is this accuser to break us down? I mean, you're already invited. There's no talking him out of it, so why are we allowing ourselves to be talked out of it, right? This is important. The other times he pushed off the devil with scripture was, you know, hey, jump off this building, the angels will rescue you. Yeah, I don't believe, again, it was about fun. It was about showing that he was all-powerful and the commander of heaven, as he claimed to be, right? And Jesus' response was, I'm not going to compromise, right? I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God. There's no room in my life to compromise, to prove anything, right? And that's another thing that our soul will try to do, is compromise. Well, you know, my line is kind of here. And as I get a little older, I start to realize that maybe my line was a little too firm. So I could actually see, how much closer could I get to actually doing that without really crossing over into darkness? Right? If I'm about as mature as I believe I am, I could kind of do this and I could take it, right? Most people can, but I'm good. I've won that battle, right? And so we compromise and we walk closer and closer to stuff rather than seeing how much more can I please my God and just fulfill every deep part of him with joy. How can I do that? It's kind of like, well, what more can I get out of this before it starts becoming wrong, right? And so it's, I won't compromise, devil. There's no reason, right? And then that third thing that he did was when he was being told, hey, if you'll worship me, I'll just give you the kingdoms, right? And in that story, it was easy. You don't have to go to the cross, Jesus, is the implication. You don't have to earn this through pain and suffering. And Jesus knew what he was supposed to suffer. He'd read Isaiah before a couple of times, right? So he knew. And the idea of, they just fall down and worship me and I'll give it to you. And you can just have it easy. Easy peasy. And Jesus was like, no, I don't know, right? Worship the Lord and only him will you serve, right? He used the scriptures. And the reason that was there is that we understand that there's no manipulation or shortcut. And this is important, especially in spiritual warfare, because there's always going to be these opportunities to just get easy stuff out of your life. And the enemy wants to, you know, bring that attack against you. And if you shortcut the process and you don't stay pure and holy in your approach, then the enemy can just eat you alive, right? Not only one, we have this thing we call legal ground, the right for him to then further attack you, right? But number two, you've scarred your reputation, and those stinking enemies, they know that about, like, what you did, and then they'll go trumpet that thing from the rooftops. Oh, they call themselves a Christian, right? They trumpet the shame. They coax you into doing it, and then they trumpet the shame, right? And so it's so important that we walk in the purity and the worship side, and we just don't compromise in that way, right? There's only one worth serving, and we're not going to bow our knee, manipulate our way, or get a shortcut through any process if it means we're trading on the presence of God in our life, right? Are we happy? Is this good? Uplifting message? Are we still singing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God? Okay, good. Just want to make sure you didn't go like, I failed three times already. Right? Sure you did. That's why we're all here together. So, posting warfare scriptures. I'm just going to skip all the rest of my stuff. Yours is more important anyways. Katrina had posted from 2 Chronicles 20 this idea. You remember when the armies were attacking and the king consulted and then sent his worshipers first into that battle, which makes absolutely no sense, right? If you're going to send the worship leaders, send the bad ones, but don't send the good ones. Never mind. All right. He appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, and they say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. They weren't singing necessarily anything like, we attack you, right? We rebuke you. All those things are cool. Like, follow the Spirit. Let him lead you in those. But understanding it, the core of all your worship is love, and the Lord's love is steadfast and enduring and faithful, right? And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against those who had come against Judah so that they were routed. What's it look like when the Lord sets an ambush? It's cool, right? I've seen ambushes like that, like things that you could not explain that just God did. He shows up, but he just does it. And it's like, whoa, you can't manipulate that, right? So it's seated in love. If you find yourself in this place of, you know, warfare led by the God into that thing, you know, remember, it's all being done for love. It's done by love. It's for love. Don't leave that for anything. Okay. Donna then throws over Psalms 103, 2 through 4. We hope you're listening, Donna. With all my heart, I praise the Lord. I will never forget how kind he's been. The Lord forgives our sins, heals us when we're sick, protects us from death. His kindness and love are a crown on our head. And, you know, she then turned it into a prayer. And that's what I thought was so cool. It's like, you know, you don't just read this, but it's, Lord, I praise you with all my heart, and I will never forget how kind you've been to me. Lord, you've forgiven all my sins. You've healed all my sicknesses. You've protected me from death. Your kindness and love are a crown on our head. And so in the name of Jesus, I pray for you to continue healing. And then she went down this prayer for healing, right? She took that scripture, which is a two-edged sword, and swung it, right? That's right. She is, Proverbs 31, she is wise. Her words are wise, right? Because they're seated in something smarter than ourselves. They're seated in the heart of God, right? I posted Psalms 29 during the week for something, and I don't know if it made sense to anybody or not, but now I get to explain it, so it's cool. The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. And I use this all the time when I feel like there's just this onslaught or this flood coming. I'm like, Lord, you rule over that. You, just because the flood, and that's probably on my emotions making something this small feel this big, right? But I'm like, Lord, you rule over that floodwater. You're still sovereign and you reign. You're not diminished in your capacity one bit just because of a flood coming at us, right? You reign as king forever. And Lord, you give me strength. And so God, I just accept your strength right now. It's not my own strength, it's your strength. And I take strength in knowing that I am loved. I take strength in knowing that the name of Jesus is above every name. And you love me, right? And the Lord blesses me with peace. And so right now I accept peace. Even if the flood is still coming, I accept peace. I don't always model peace, but I accept it, and I ask for the ability to continue modeling and growing in that, right? Yes? It's good to see you, Neil. Thank you. Thank you. It's just good to see you smiling there. Luke 10, verse 19, Gabrielle shared this. Is Gabrielle here? Okay, then I won't walk the mic over. So she was saying, look, this is the words of Jesus. I've given you authority over all powers of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because your evil spirits obey you, but because your names are registered in heaven. Remember, it's all about love. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm loved, because I'm registered in heaven with you. Squish. Right? And if you've been in any prayer sessions where maybe I've been backing you up in prayer, you've been with Marguerite or Alex or anybody, right? Or just know that we are in the background saying, you know, I crush your head, you stinking, you know, serpent. We crush your head in the name of Jesus. We refuse to let you have influence in this person's life, right? Like, you can just pray this stuff, right? And then, Megan, you did a really cool one this week. I just put your copied it right out of Messenger. Do you want to read it so we can hear it in the voice that you intended it? Sure. All right, cool. See, it's straight from Megan.
I put that the peace of God is strange. Just, it's unlike anything you can experience away from God. Like, how else could you feel overwhelming peace in a situation where you shouldn't? So I put, the peace of God is strange but incredible. This was the day that it was a Monday. I called it the Mondayest Monday ever. Like, literally everything that could go wrong went wrong. And for those of you who don't know, I stay home with my three daughters, and So anyways, so I could feel the enemy wanting me to get angry at all these things that were happening. My kids weren't listening. I was late to a doctor's appointment. Stuff was breaking in the house. My husband came home not in the best mood. The enemy wanted me to get angry at my kids, to fight with my husband, to just ask God, why is my day so hard? Why are you giving me such a difficult day? But instead, God gave me the, just kept tapping me, kept reminding me, just lean into me. Take my strength. It's here. Just take it. And just to remind me that he's there with me. He's not far. Just because my day was hard, just because my kids were fighting, doesn't mean God's over there saying, just come over here, like, if you need help. Like, no, he's right there. And it was just funny that day. I kind of felt like a crazy person, but I was just, like, laughing. Like, this is kind of, like, laughable. I just felt, like, peace. And I was like, not today, Satan. Like, we're not fighting today. So,
amen. Awesome. Thank you. And I wanted you to share, I was hoping you would, because this was not necessarily scripture, though that is the heart of God that's provable in scripture, but he was just calling you lean into him and find strength and joy and, you know, so that's cool. So.
I'm sorry, just one quick thing. Sometimes we forget that peace can be such a powerful weapon against the enemy, right? Because like the mm-hmm. sermon you spoke a couple weeks ago really hit me that the enemy wants us to feel panic and drama, right? But the peace of God guards our hearts, and it's such a powerful weapon against the enemy.
Yeah, amen. That's true. I noticed a lot of ladies are doing the speaking on Messenger, so if you want to speak to me later about a better way to communicate, I'm all ears. I just... it's like a lot of ladies in a row. Kathy and Donna both spoke from Psalms 3, where... I actually incorporated more than they incorporated because it's important. Psalm of David, regarding the time David fled from his son Absalom. Oh Lord, I have so many enemies, so many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, oh Lord, are a shield around me, and you're my glory and the one who holds my head high. Right? And to just focus on this idea that when your head is dropping, he's the one that picks it up. And you know, he just holds your face and says, it's going to be okay. I love you, right? And why is that so critical that I added that little piece of the first verse in there? Because, first of all, this is David had a fight with his son, and this was the last time he would ever see his son's face. Talk about when is there ever a time when you need the Lord to just grab your face and tell you, I love you, right? It's in family feuds and disagreements and brokenness, right? Second of all, his son betrayed him. That can be painful when a child or someone close to you betrays you, right? Yeah? Third, the king at this moment is evacuating the kingdom. He's officially resigning and walking away from his career as king. What does a king go do after he can't be king anymore? He's probably going to be a target. He's going to be killed, right? But he lost his job. Can I just say it that simply? He lost his job. And he needed a king, King Jesus to, you know, lift his head. He lost his home. I mean, he literally walked away from his house. You know, so I won't keep focusing on the negative, but I wanted to just show you that this is a great scripture to pull out when you feel like you've just lost something significant and it hurts. Just to say, I feel like I have so many enemies. It's a feeling, but I feel it. And you don't let me bury it and hold it up. Nope. Focus here in my face, right? Amen. That's a good one. So then Mindy shares these two scriptures that you actually turned into prayer. Can I put you on the spot? Why not? You're wearing your cool shirt today. Yeah. Those are your scriptures, by the way. Can you read them?
Yes.
Okay.
So Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord.
And you turned that into a prayer.
I did. I did. And then with Proverbs 21:30, no human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of the battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord.
If you were going to minister that to someone here who's hurting and you just felt like the Lord was shared that verse for them, how would you bend that into your two-edged sword?
Yeah, it's just a good reminder to me that everything that we battle on this earth, Christ can redeem, Christ will have a victory, and that everything here is so temporary and everything here is so not of God, and I'm so grateful that everything on this earth is so not of me. And so I just felt like I needed to call on the Lord to condemn disease, to condemn words, to condemn false judgment. I feel like this world has a lot of false messages, and including disease. And so, yeah, I just said no.
Amen. And why did you feel like you had the right to do that?
Because I am a child of God.
Yes. And this heritage, right? It's a heritage of all the saints.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. No human wisdom or understanding or plan, right? Like, I'm so grateful that I don't have it all figured out. Because the victory belongs to the Lord. I will execute his plan, and I will try to be humble to his will. And I'm just so grateful I don't have to do it alone, that I can rely on his word.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks for letting me put you on the spot there. I'm actually really excited to see how I've watched you praying out scripture lately, and it's been cool. Yeah, so keep doing that, practice that, and people will also learn by experiencing that with you. Yeah, so good job. Sorry. You must, because Ricky and Irene, at least, and Donna, and some couple of...
Facebook, except for when I pop on to get rid of stuff in my house.
But, yeah. Do you mind if someone else holds it? I'll hold it there. Go ahead.
Ethan and I were just talking about this yesterday. We were running some errands, and we grew up, and to use his terminology, a vein of Christianity that didn't necessarily believe or teach any of this. And I'm not blaming my parents. They did a really good job of instilling in us what they knew. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how, as we were talking yesterday, it's moved from what we called a passive faith to an active faith.
Yes.
So one of our children last week was having a difficulty with a classmate. And it was, I would have normally directed my children in prayer towards this classmate, but the ability to direct it more specifically and binding up that spirit in that person and, you know, praying against that and, you know, praying for this instead. Mm-hmm. Is just, like I said, that movement from being kind of helpless to being powerful.
Empowered, yeah.
Or empowered. And for this particular child who tends to be a more passive kid, that was really spoke volumes to them. Because when I asked them a couple days later, hey, how is this? They're like, oh, yeah, it's gone now. You know, it's salt. It's. And so it's just been a really neat transition for our household, because Evelyn, who is so very transparent, walks into school a particular day, and her teacher asks her, so how was your weekend? She goes, it was a hot mess.
Yeah.
And she wasn't wrong. But again, in that mess, it's just been, that transition has been very relieving.
Yeah, it's very cool. Thank you for sharing that. And so what that does is it creates a world where now you open up your Bible and like, Holy Spirit, what are you going to show me that I need to know like right now or for this moment? And your Bible becomes alive and it starts to speak. It's not just a history record of what he's done, but it's a what he's about to do kind of a weapon, right? I love it. It's awesome. You guys good with this? This is so cool. I mean, I've got all kinds of stuff, but I'm going to show you one more thing because I think it's important. Gabrielle's not here, else I would have had her read this one. But she actually posted a prophetic word that was spoken, and it's, you know, she found meaning from it, so she wanted to share that because, you know, whenever there's a prophetic word, right, it's not necessarily restricted to just one person, right? How do you know, Daryl? Well, because when I read the prophets of the Bible, I can't just say, that's for me, you can't have it. Right? I would like to. With Jeremiah 29 especially. right? But I don't, it's for all of us. And so the word of the Lord, like, you can actually hear that encouragement spoken. The spirit of Jesus, that's the essence of prophecy, right? And so if she shares this because it was a blessing to her, something in your heart might begin to burn and you say, I can take hold of that Holy Spirit, right? Make sure you surrender that to him. Don't just name it and claim it and just go with it without surrender. That's the difference between the name it and claim it movement. I like that. I'm taking that for me, right? We don't get to go up and down the grocery aisles of the Spirit and just, right? All right, so she said, and it's like the big, cool, graphic-y looking thing. God said, I need you to get excited again. I need you to remember you're not in this thing alone. I'm working on your challenges. I've already assigned angels to you, so let go of the stress and trust me. I've got a pretty incredible ending in store. In fact, that's why you need to get excited again, because the happy ending I've got coming is going to rock your world. Right? And that's worth sharing, right? That's worth posting. And then I can think of all the scriptures, like as you read that, does your mind do fireworks in the sky of all the scriptures that you know that confirm that that is actually like of God, right? And the joy of the Lord can now be your strength because we remember, right? And I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, right? And he will give his angels charge over you and, right? I know the plans I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope. Just think about the different things, and it's scriptural, and yet your heart burns when you hear, and you're like, yes, reminder, be excited. I'll set an alarm. Yeah. And then the last one, and this person won't mind. This was actually in a ministry moment. And before this person arrived, I was like, Holy Spirit, what scripture do you have? So it's almost like having your sidearm loaded before you go into the meeting, right? And he gave me Psalms 18. And then as we did this meeting, it's not like I went to the scripture. I just had it. It was just sitting on the little table. And we go so far. And it was like everything that this person was saying, this was, and I don't want to like make way more of it than it was, but there were things in that scripture that like if you go back and read that, that actually applies here and here and here and here. So take this home and read this later in your own time, right? And I love how the life of God just comes out of scripture and becomes like what it's needed for the moment. And so I just wanted to show you a couple of these living scriptures from Psalms 18, and then I'll close this down. But from Psalms 18, verse 12, do we have it? We don't have it. Oh, dang it, now I can read it to you then. And I can read as much as I want, and you won't know. So this is speaking of the Lord. The brilliance of his presence broke through the clouds, raining down hail and burning coals. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High gave a mighty shout, and he shot his arrows and scattered his enemies. His lightning flashed, and they were greatly confused. He delivered me from powerful enemies, those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was weakest, but the Lord upheld me. He led me into a place of safety, and he rescued me because he delights in me. Right? We need to, at times, remember that when we're fighting, it's he loves me, and he's coming. And he's not just coming in a small way, but what does it look like when the Lord comes with a mighty shout? Right? When you feel like your enemies are too strong for you, and he shows up, and he upholds you, and brings you to safety. Safety in here, safety out here, right? And then, you know, if you guys, like I said before, when we may have ministry moments and we may have someone else praying for you, maybe I'm that person praying while someone else is leading. But the point is you'll also, that's one of our power scriptures is, Lord, just shoot those arrows into this thing and scatter the wicked. Right? It's so cool to watch as the atmosphere shifts in a room as believers begin to pray scripture over, even if they can't hear you praying those things, but you're doing it. You're praying his heart back to him, and he wants to come with a mighty shout, and he wants to shoot those arrows into this thing, and he wants to dispel those too strong for you because he delights in you. And you just say it to him, and he gets excited. It's like you just feel everything begin to change in that moment. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So here's our prayer time. We can use the bullets, I guess. Why not? They're there. Let's use them. But let's pray for motivation to speak out against the attack of the enemy from a position of God-given authority. Amen. If it's God-given, that means he gets to lead. You don't just get to run with it. It's not yours. It's his. You just get to use it. Yes? Okay. Number two, God, in your jealous love for me, turn against the things that presume to harm me. Make me beautiful in your own plan and forge my testimony like a well-sharpened weapon. This is where he gets to take the things that have come against you in your life and use it for good, not only for you, but for others. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. And then this last one, I come into alignment with the Holy Spirit to engage in the spirit of love, power, and soundness. And some of us, you know, we've given up on praying and believing for these things because life gets kind of distracting or disappointing, and we lose the urge to speak. Like, it's almost like our voice is taken. You know what I'm talking about? You get kind of, can I say the word depressed without going all clinical? And you just, the last thing you want to do is open your mouth. Well, why? Why do you think that is? Because there's power in your words. The enemy knows it. So why doesn't he just take that first? And then he can kick you. Right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And how do we know he wants to steal the word? Because Jesus talked about the birds coming and stealing the seed. The seed is the word of God implanted. The thorns growing up and choking the word, killing it, right? The rocky soil grows up, and when the pressures of this life were too strong, it withered, right? There's a real impact on the word of God in your life and your ability to receive it and to internalize it and use it. Amen. So Father God, I just thank you that you are here, and Lord, you just filled my brothers and sisters with verses and prophetic unction to step out and encourage other believers this week. And we got to see that in action, Lord. We got to hear from people's heart. We got to see people praying scripture, turning it into a two-edged sword that they could swing. Lord, I get to see you maturing and growing people. I get to see you encouraging people who would normally be discouraged, or giving peace to people who would normally lose it. Father, I get to sit back and watch you be God, and I'm just so thankful for that. Thank you for giving us words, especially in those times, Father, where we don't have words. Thank you for giving us a body of Christ around us for those times where we don't even know how we're going to pray another thing, but you surround us with those that are willing to do it with us and for us. God, I ask that you will take our hearts and you will just set them right in that posture of readiness, Lord, looking out not only for the attack that's coming at us, but the attack that's coming at our brothers and sisters, and how we can, in our own brokenness and humility, step in and be a shield for them. I pray that you open up our heart, open up our mind for saying, someone needs this today, and share it by faith, God. Lord, I pray for those who have been disappointed, disillusioned, they've walked away from their voice in the scripture, or maybe they just never knew. And Lord, the Bible is just a thing you do. It's a command, but it's not actually a weapon of power to be used for your kingdom. And I pray, Father, that you'll begin to reveal and open up their heart to the use of the scriptures once again in mighty and powerful ways. God, show us all the stuff in the scripture that we never believed but were meant for us to have. I pray that Bibles will be highlighted yellow from front to back with things that are relevant not only for a historical record and account, but for today, for this struggle, for this battle, for my brother and sister's need. Lord, highlight these things. Load the magazines, Father, so that we can just keep shooting, I pray. Grow us, mature us, Father. Equip us for ministry, I ask. Lord, it's not in our power, it's in your power alone. Don't let us get lost in the weeds and arguments and struggles, Father. Lord, focus us on your heart, your face, and let us stay there, God, right where we know we are loved and therefore we can step out. And for those of us, God, who have felt a really hard struggle, not being afraid and standing and letting you fight our battle, I just pray for special grace on those people, Father, who feel the need to step out in front and try to do it in their own strength. Lord, that you'll give them a special grace to sit back, to engage, but to trust that you're going to just open seas, Father. You're going to part seas for them because you delight in them. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your spirit in us, oh God. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you died so we could have these things. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 So everybody, thank you for sharing. If something comes up this week and you want to further elaborate, you can feel free to either share it on Messenger, email me, call me. I'm totally good with us sharing these things more and more in service because I think there's power when we're doing this together as family, right? Cool. All right, cool. You may be dismissed.